You're listening to All About the House on Lake 88.1. Brian Perkin with you. And our guests today are Kelvin Hodges, Perth-based renewable energy entrepreneur, and also Don McKenzie, Perth resident and engineer. I'm going to throw it back to the two of you again. And Kelvin, this time around, going to be talking a little bit about the equipment needed for a solar install like this.
That's right. And so, Don, the solar energy comes in from the solar panels, goes into something called an inverter, right? And that inverter feeds power to the grid. But you have another aspect as well where you're going to store some energy in batteries with a separate set of inverters. Do you want to talk about that a bit?
Yeah, so really, quite simply, is your normal grid-connected inverter basically synchronizes to the hydro network, so it's in phase with the system, so that allows it to be connected at the same time. So it's generating maybe only half of the power that you're using at the home at a moment, or at other times it may be generating more power than you're using in the home, and it'll go back out. So it just sort of flows back and forth depending on what's going on. The shortcoming or the surprise to a lot of people is that on a nice sunny day in the summertime, the power goes out on the grid and the neighbor's lights all go out, and they would expect that their lights would stay on because they're generating all this power on the roof. But the truth is it doesn't, because as soon as the grid goes down, the basic grid tie inverter doesn't have anything to synchronize to anymore, and it shuts off. So you lose power just like your neighbors did. So traditionally, even in our other house, we had a backup generator, which was, natural gas-connected generator for that situation to keep the some pumps in the freezer and all that going. In this case, we decided, because we're kind of be carbon zero here, that we would do that using essentially what's an off-grid type inverter system, which means it can run without the hydro being connected. So when the hydro goes out, there is batteries. Their only job is to power the home during the power outage. So we have a bank of batteries which can keep all the critical stuff going in the house for up to 3 days if you have no solar. So that's kind of a replacement for the traditional backup generator or whatever.
So your house is really on the grid and off the grid?
Yeah, when the power fails, it actually switches to an off-grid home. So it can provide power to the critical loads in the house, in combination from the solar panels and from the batteries if there's no power available in the solar panels.
Cool. And so one of the amazing things I find about your house is you not only have all modern conveniences, including an elevator, but you're also heating your hot water and your home, heating and cooling, with heat pumps. That's a hybrid sort of system, two hybrid systems, I guess. That's pretty interesting. How does that work?
Well, because when you start going into heating, space heating and water heating for your domestic hot water, that's a big energy demand. So if you're going to do that by solar, what you really want to do is try and minimize that as much as possible. So you within the building structure itself, it has, triple glazed windows and has super insulated and all that kind of stuff. But then just straight heating systems, we didn't want to use natural gas. I mean, the gas main is right outside our door, but we chose not to do that. So when you go to electricity and you're going to try and generate from solar, a big part of the planning is to reduce your demand. So the heat pumps allow us to, if we just went traditional electric heat, we would need three or four times the energy to heat the place. So it's a way of, instead of generating heat by, resistance heating or whatever, we're moving heat from the outside, from the air or from water, is what a heat pump does. But that would be kind of a whole a whole other hour, I guess, to try and go into that. But it really, it's just a way of reducing the energy demand that you need to heat both water and this home.
Yeah, heat pumps are quite incredible. Right? The idea that you can take even a very cold temperatures, minus 20, you can take heat out of the air, or for you, heat out of the water. And I understand your water loop is in the Tay River. Is that right?
It's not at the moment. We're actually using or will be as soon as it's not quite connected yet, but we're actually going to be using the water that's being pumped out from the foundation system to keep it dry here, because we are right next to the river here, so we have the sump pumps are pumping out water all the time. We're actually going to use that water to take the heat out of it before we send it where it normally goes.
Wow. That's hilarious. So that heat, then, it gets run through some sort of compressor. Even though it's a tiny amount of heat, it gets compressed, shipped back into the home. And then your pump, you're using a rather unusual heat pump in that your heat pump connects to the furnace, and you actually distribute the heat a normal way through a furnace. Is that right?
Yeah. It's a forced air
furnace
or whatever. So it would be normally you'd have electric resistance elements in there. So instead of that, it still has those for if it gets extremely cold. If it gets below minus 22 Celsius, then we either have to use water instead of the air, or we can use just direct electric. But a heat pump is really just an air conditioner. Is exactly what an air conditioner is, a heat pump, only it's doing it the other way around. It's taking heat sort of from outside and moving into the house, where air conditioning is the opposite. It's taking heat from your house and putting it outside. It's the same technology, but it's a little trickier when you're trying to do it in quite cold conditions.
Don, I've got a question. If we can go back to the battery for a moment. You said this battery will actually run the elements of your home electrically for up to about 3 days or so. So that includes your heat pump and your water source heat pump as well?
Yes, but used sparingly. So we would, have probably a lower temperature, so we'd probably set the thermostat at 15 C or something instead of 21. But
right.
Yeah, it has, because of the way the house is insulated and all that, it doesn't need very much heat, so it can help. We've got about 50 kilowatts hours of battery, so that's a fair bit of energy there to play with. But mm-hmm. we would try and conserve it. At the same time, that 3 days is if there's no sun. If there's any sun during those 3 days, you also get that energy and can charge the batteries back up. So assuming you get a sunny day and, one every three or something, then you can sort of go forever.
Okay. And the actual physical size of the batteries that you're using, is it one or two single batteries, larger ones, or smaller ones connected together?
It's 16. If you saw them, they'd be, they'd be the size maybe. If you took six good-sized car batteries or something like that, each one would be about size of maybe six of those, so it's a fairly large rack of batteries.
All right, and those would be in the basement then? You have to have them inside heated?
They don't have to be, but ideally they are, just because the capacity drops off if they're cold, so ideally, because they're a sealed battery, they can be inside in the mechanical room, yeah.
All right, okay. Now, we've had a question come in from one of our listeners. Kelvin, maybe I'll direct this to you, because, Don, you haven't had winter yet, but the question is, what about snow on the rooftop? Snow as a problem on solar panels. They say, should it be removed? Will it slide off or melt off on its own? That's a question from one of our listeners there. Kelvin, I'll throw that to you first off.
Well, that's a good question. In the wintertime, I will get out there. Our panels are on the second floor, so we can't really reach them. But I'll chuck some snowballs up there, try to dislodge some of the snow. We don't have, similar to Don, a super steep angle. But if you can get a little hole on the panel, like where and I'm talking about not an inch of snow or 2 inches of snow, but those days when you get that heavy 4 to 6 inches, if you can get a little spot clear, or close to clear, then that spot will warm up, and then it'll heat the rest of the panel up, and then the snow slides off. I'm not going to say super easily, but, we'll hear thump, thumpity, thump, thump during the day, and usually they're clear by the afternoon, and, if it is sunny,
okay.
Then you'll get your power back.
So truly, if there is snow on the panels, though, they're not going to be working, correct?
Not much. If the snow is light, you'll get a little bit, for sure, but... Once they get covered in snow, they stop working, and then they are quite slippery. There's a new bubbled surface to them, a sort of pebbled surface, and the snow will slide off fairly fairly well, fairly quickly.
Right, okay. And back to you, Don, when you had your solar panels put on, was it a pretty, I don't want to say easy maneuver, but, you know, putting them on, the size of them were handy enough that the installers had no problem getting them up there and on?
Yeah, in our case it was, because the roof was, the house was designed around the roof to hold the solar panels. So we have quite a low slope. It's only 2.5-12 pitch or whatever, so you can walk around almost like you're on the ground there. So and the mounting was all already done and everything. So yeah, it was really simple. It'd be, you know, different on a steeper roof or on a retrofit, but on this one it was really straightforward.
Yeah, very good. All right, we're talking to Kelvin Hodges, a Perth-based renewable energy entrepreneur, and also Don McKenzie, a Perth resident and engineer who has built a brand-new solar home in Perth as well. We'll be back with more on that particular construction in just a moment. You're listening to All About the House here on Lake 88.1.